Well, I've always been waiting for the moment when I could be able to stand on the back of a pickup truck and say that I'm moving up in the world, one way or another, but I'll take it. I'll take it. I am so glad to be out here with you guys this morning to worship together. I gotta say, this is a first for me. Anybody else? Yeah, okay, it's all right. I know, it's good, but I'm so glad. It's been such a long time, and we've gone through a lot, haven't we? It's not done yet. But in the midst of all of that, God is still good. He's worthy of praise. He is reigning on the throne. He is Lord over heaven and earth. He is a holy God, and we are His people through Jesus Christ. And so He's worthy of praise and glory and honor. And can we just today, whether you're in your car or out here, or if you want even, in your house watching with us this morning, can we just give Him a round of just praise for being a great and mighty God? I would imagine you guys have been doing a lot of praying over the weeks, in the couple few months that we've been separated from each other, and no doubt you've probably had some moments where you've about had enough of what you're, the rhythm that you've been in. And we've been talking a lot about rhythm and obedience, rhythm of kind of our worship with God, and how we practice that day in and day out. And we're going to talk about the rhythm of prayer this morning. Seems like, to me, a fitting topic to cover today as we go to God's Word. Have you ever prayed and found that when you prayed that something happened, that God moved some way? God brought about a change. Maybe it was a healing. Maybe it was a wall in your life that you wanted moved, and you prayed and that wall kind of got moved, or needed a relationship that God was going to have to intervene. And you were praying and God intervened. You were praying that you could, you fill in the blank. Have you ever prayed and felt that praying made a difference, that changed something, that grew you in your heart and in your faith? Anybody ever kind of feel that when you pray, that there are times before when prayer has worked? Absolutely. Prayer can change things. It can shape, it can grow. Prayer can change us. Prayer can change us, it can grow us. It is that means of grace by which God and His Spirit works within us to grow us through our faith by the working of the Holy Spirit. And the question I want to ask today and answer is not what will God change, but what is the kind of faith that God really wants me to bring into prayer? I want to answer that from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 today. If you have a Bible with you, maybe on your smartphone this morning, feel free to turn there in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want to go to the story of Solomon. I want to go to the point when Solomon has become king of Israel, and of course his dad, King David, is passed away, and Solomon has taken on the chore of finishing God's temple, and has gotten it finished. The work is done, and in chapter 6, Solomon is in this long prayer. You thought I prayed long. Solomon was praying now. And in the midst of his praying, he gets to the end of having asked God to hear the prayers of his people and to respond to those, to be there at the temple. As you know, the Spirit of God had resided in the temple amongst his people throughout his covenant relationship with them. And Solomon is praying that in this brand new temple, that the Spirit of God would inhabit and be present amongst them. And I want to pick up where Solomon, the story, I should say, in chapter 7, verse 1. It says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all of the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground. Now, you don't have to do that this morning. It might be a little hot. And they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good. His love endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. Now, right after that point, the people go on and they start celebrating, and it's just day after day of celebration there. And I like what the Lord's response is to Solomon in verse 14. Some of you may have heard this verse before, his response, where it says, okay, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Have you guys heard that before? If you've ever done the National Day of Prayer in our country, that has been a passage that has been used at least once that I know of. And in this particular point where God is saying this to Solomon, I want to point out that God is not making a judgment against the people of Israel, saying that they are in the wrong and they need to turn it around and they need to come back to the Lord. God is speaking affirmation back to Solomon, because Solomon has already prayed, asking God to do this very thing for his people, that he would be a God of honor and a God of integrity. He would be a God of faithfulness. He would be a God who never speaks and dishonors his word. But wherever his word goes forth, it goes forth with truth and wisdom, because it comes from God. God is promising in this moment healing. He's promising wholeness. He's promising to bring about peace and prosperity, to bring transformation to a nation, to a community. But he's conditioning that promise on a faith that reveres God for being holy. In fact, if you go and you read in the books of the prophets, this is a very common theme that keeps coming again and again. You may remember this pattern, that when God's people stray from him, he rises up and calls a prophet. And what does the prophet do? He goes to the people and he says, hey, pull it together, turn it around, come back to the covenant, the relationship with the holy God who has called you out by his grace and mercy, has made a covenant with you. And he is a God of a promise. But you need to worship God who is holy. You need to worship the one who created us, who saves us, and who sustains his people. I love that, because in that promise, God was linking their greatest potential for growth to their faith in a holy God. I believe that is where all worship begins. It begins with faith, not just in a God who's a genie, who if we do the right things and say the right prayers and we go to church every Sunday, that he'll answer our prayers and give us what we want. And if we read our Bible regularly and if we practice spiritual habits, that it's all going to be good, and God's promised that he will honor and bless. But here's the thing about 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It's not God's just saying that I will give you what you need, and I will prosper and transform you, and I will change you, and I will make it a place and a people of great promise just because you ask, just because you do the right things. I will do this because in your heart you have chosen to worship a holy God. The promise for potential and prosperity and long life and longevity And please, let us not get hung up on the particulars that God has to give these things to us just because we think he's a holy God, but that he holds the authority as the one and only holy God of heaven and earth to give what he decides to give and to take what he determines to take. When you read the book of Psalms, you'll see that addressing God as holy as the starting point of every psalm. They could be lamenting and crying out and saying, my life sucks. This is horrible. It's all falling apart. It's just miserable. I can't take it anymore. But at the end, the faith in a holy God rises up and says, and yet still, God, I will praise you and trust you and worship you because you are a holy and mighty God. God, I'm so excited for where my life is right now. It's so amazing. And God, I give you praise. Why? Because you are the holy God who has made it possible. God, I know that you're not done. I know there's a day coming when the Messiah is going to return. And I know that that is at your hand, God, because you are a powerful and a holy God. Now, I'm pretty certain you probably, this is not the first time you've heard this sermon preached. I wanted to share this thought with us this morning because in one part, as I take some time to sort of think about where we are as a church in the 21st century, I want to share my perspective, but I don't want to share this in a negative or condemning way. This simply is just my perspective. I feel that there is a sense of a casualness as it pertains to a relationship with God that is quite prevalent in the church. I'm grateful that we have the privilege to have a personal friend type brother loving relationship with Jesus, and Scripture speaks to this, and it is a beautiful privilege that ought not to be shaken aside, but I think it is to be upheld. But what makes that promise so beautiful and that privilege to know God in such a way is the privilege that we have to know God that way because Jesus Christ met the just requirement for sin of a holy God. Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary out of compassion, yes. He went to the cross and was risen from the dead so that we could have victory over sin and death. Absolutely. But he did what he did also because a price needed to be paid. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he is the perfect payment that meets the just requirement of sin for a holy God. All worship, relationship with God, a life of walking daily with God, being a part of the church, all begins with worshiping a holy God. It's because of Jesus that we are able to comfortably approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. We really have been given a beautiful gift from a powerful and holy God. I think some of you may already be going here. How does the Lord's Prayer begin? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy is thy name. Jesus said, pray beginning with faith that believes that God is holy. So my question for us today is, how do you see God when you pray? How do you see God? When you worship. How do you see God? When you think about what's going on in your life, how do you see God? When you start the day and you go, you know what, today is the day the Lord has made, so I'm going to be glad and what? Rejoice in it. How do you see God? Are you seeing God as that all-powerful God who is omnipotent? You know that word omnipotent, omni, all, potent, powerful, all-powerful. That God who was present and spoke creation into existence, the one that exercised authority over the wind and the waves and the sun and the moon, who raised the dead to life, who appointed Jesus Christ to have all authority in heaven and on earth. Only one being can do that. That is the one true living holy God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you see God as the one who's always present without ceasing to be present anywhere? Now, that's a deep thought to think about, isn't it? That omnipresent, that all-present God, that the one who is always present without ceasing to be present anywhere. That just blows my mind. How is that even possible? I don't know. Has anybody got an answer? I don't know how God manages to do that. That's okay, because I'm not God. He is God. And thus He alone is powerful and holy and worthy to be worshipped. When you see God, do you see Him as that all-knowing God who is the author of all knowledge, truth, and wisdom? He is omniscient. Omni, shit. You got to make sure you pronounce the N in that. Otherwise, that's dangerous. He is the author of all truth, wisdom, and order. It originates in Him. He holds it all together. He knows us. He knows our needs. He knows how to care for us in perfect love. Oh, hey, by the way, did you catch how the people responded after the glory of the Lord had come upon the temple there at the beginning of chapter 7? They praised Him. But the interesting thing I notice about their praise is that they don't just say, "Praise God who is holy," right? It's interesting. "For His love endures forever." Their worship, I think, teaches us a thought about thinking on the holiness of God. When you think of the holiness of God, I encourage you not just to think of God reigning on His throne and He alone is holy, He is unapproachable, that I have to have it all together to come and to worship God, that if my life is in any way messed up or I have any kind of thing that I'm struggling with in life, that God's not going to welcome me to come to pray, to experience His presence. You see, the people of God even understood they don't have it all together. They knew their story, and you know your story, and I know my story. How many of us have ever messed it up before? Okay, well, there's a few of us, but the rest of you, just wait. It may happen. I'm worshiping a God who is holy and who cares about me. He who is perfect love and compassion, who is full of grace and mercy. Read the Old Testament. Read the New Testament. And I promise you, you will see a holy God who is full of grace and mercy. A God who is full of compassion. And one who is holy. He is perfect and pure, complete in every way. I believe the people of God were right when they said that there is no God like Him and there is no God but Him. He is supremely holy. He is the only one who has the authority and the power to save us from sin and to grow us up in Christ. He is the perfect Lord who reigns on his throne, and his perfect love endures forever. You know, in my experience with having a relationship with God through Christ in my life of prayer, you know, I haven't always gotten it right. I'll be the first one to stand up here on this truck and tell everybody that. I've made plenty of mistakes. And I have truly found that when I've come to God with a spirit of prayer that has tried to take what I felt I needed and what I wanted to happen and the timing that I wanted it to come to pass, when I made that kind of the forefront of my time of coming into prayer, I have found again and again that I tend to come out of that prayer sort of empty. I tend to come out of that prayer not necessarily feeling like I've come before God, but that God didn't come to me and necessarily answer what I needed, when I needed, the way that I wanted it in my timetable. And it just sort of felt like there wasn't much happening in here. But on the other hand, I've also had the experiences that when I've tried, and I don't always get this just right, but those times when I try to come before the Lord with a spirit of saying, God, you are holy, and just begin to adore him and praise him and to just lift him up for who he is and make it less about me and more about him when I pray, I tend to come out of that experience and go through that experience with a sense of really having been more in the presence of God. I think there is truly something to making prayer time more about God than about me that makes it a fruitful, transformational, growing us up, shaping us in what matters type of experience. I would speak to the church today and encourage us all, if you know that pathway of experiencing God through prayer, pour that, teach that to others who are coming to faith and coming up behind us. Let us teach our children that prayer is about worshiping a holy God. Bring our concerns and our cares to God, for he cares for us. Let us not take too casual of an approach to prayer that we in any way minimize, set aside the holiness of God. One of the great ways to, I think, in worship, celebrate the holiness of God shown to us in Christ is to celebrate communion together. We're going to do that this morning. So I want to invite you, if you have your communion elements of bread and juice with you this morning, would you take a moment, grab those? First Corinthians, the Apostle Paul invites the church believers to take a moment whenever they come into celebrating the Lord's Supper to examine their hearts, to make sure that they're coming to that time of communion, examining themselves, that they come recognizing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not just partaking of bread and juice, but the body and the blood of our Savior, Christ. So I want to invite you, would you take a moment of silent reflection, prayer before a holy God, and do just that in our worship. on the night Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." When supper was ended, he took the cup. And again, he gave thanks and praise to God, and he blessed it. And he said, "Take and drink of this cup. For this cup is a cup of my covenant through my blood. That whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." Let us give thanks to a holy God who has given us the perfect payment for our sin, Jesus Christ. Let's give him thanks and praise for his love given to us through his life. We thank you today that you are a God of healing. You are a God of salvation. You are a God of wholeness who makes us whole. You give us rebirth through our salvation in Christ. We are justified because of him. Our righteousness is in Christ. We have been set apart as brothers and sisters in your kingdom. We truly are blessed to be loved by you. Thank you for being who you are and being everything we need, holy and loving God, who has created us to know your love, to live in the joy of your blessings, through peace and hope and joy and love. May you continue to minister to our hearts, our minds, our lives, our families as we continue to worship and we'll go forth from this place this morning. Father, for those that are grieving for the passing of loved ones, we ask your spirit will give comfort. For those of us who are going back to work or spending more time out in the community, may you protect us, keep us safe from illness of any form. Watch over us, guide us in our days, give us wisdom as we go about our days in all things, with all people. We ask, and you promise that you will provide the wisdom we seek. We give you glory and honor as we pray and worship and sing today, because you are worthy of all praise and glory and honor. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Together we say, amen.